שלום, אנחנו נמצאים בשיעור בנושא גדלות
של המורה. שלום, we are at a lesson about the greatness of the Creator. We're going to read selected excerpts from the Kabbalists, a lesson about the greatness of the Creator.
I don't know what more to add. We spoke about it so much, but the topic itself has no end. We just have to see that this is where we have the struggle over the greatness of the Creator. Nothing in reality should contradict or block that in some way. It has to stand out above everything. And everything that was created has a right to exist only to help disturb the greatness of the Creator so that we can work against it and build the greatness of the Creator more and more each time, to the point that His glory fills up the world, so to speak. And so a person must always be concerned for the greatness of the Creator, that one thing. And if he is not concerned about that, then he invites troubles to himself that will arise from all sorts of directions, from the farthest in reality from the Creator to his relatives. That all of those have a right to exist only to awaken the person to search for the greatness of the Creator. It can happen in a direct manner or in an indirect manner. It depends on a person's state. But if he's in an environment that constantly helps him, that holds him with the necessity to take care of the greatness of the Creator in his eyes, by that he saves all the troubles and concerns and advances in the right direction. Meaning, we should organize ourselves in such a way that we always remember and work only on that. The greatness of the upper force, one, unique and unified, none else besides him, good that does good, and all of reality exists only to direct us to him. If we try to direct ourselves, if we care for that in advance, that's hastening time. And if we are negligent in that, then by additional opposite forces to the greatness of the Creator, we nevertheless, by something from afar and unpleasant, we still move forward, and that is by in due time. So we have to understand this between us and realize this situation and shorten the path, which is good for us and good in the eyes of the Creator, and also explain that to the whole of humanity, that we have no choice. We can't leave the system. We have to sustain the system. And that's our whole life. Either we advance in a good way or in a bad way, but it's towards one goal, the greatness of the Creator.
We're reading excerpt number 9 from Shamati. Shamati number 19. What is the Creator hates the bodies in the work? One must always examine oneself, the purpose of one's work. Meaning, if the Creator receives contentment in every act that one performs, because he wants equivalence of form with the Creator. This is called all your actions will be for the sake of the Creator. Meaning, one wants the Creator to enjoy whatever one does, as it is written, to bring contentment to his Maker. Also, one should conduct oneself with the will to receive and say to it, I have already decided that I do not want to receive any pleasure because you want to enjoy. This is because with your desire, I am forced to be separated from the Creator, since disparity of form causes separation and distance from the Creator. One's hope should be that since one cannot break loose from the dominion of the will to receive, he is therefore in perpetual ascents and descents. Hence, one awaits the Creator to be rewarded with the Creator opening his eyes and to have the power to overcome and work only to benefit the Creator. It is as it is written, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek. That meaning the Holy Shekhinah. And one asks the divinity. And one asks that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Most of us are already here for several years, right? Let's say, 10 years on average. And we see how hard it is for us to emotionally penetrate what's written. We read all these excerpts a year ago, 2 years ago, and 10 years ago. We heard about them in many different ways. We discussed them too. But the whole point is the inspiration, the sensitivity, the emotional receptivity of what's there. Sometimes it opens up, sometimes it's closed, and the impression from the text constantly changes, but altogether it increases. The matter of progress in spirituality is only about what's called opening one's heart, raising the level of sensitivity and inspiration, that every word reaches the depth of the heart and then a person works accordingly. What's most influential over the person is the environment. We know how the environment influences us in every sense, like it or not. The environment dictates everything. If not for the environment, many of the things I do, I wouldn't do them at all. Things I'm impressed by, I wouldn't be impressed by them at all. But it's all because what will they say about me? How will they look at me? How will my relatives will look at me or farther people? And so on and so forth. And Baal Shem Tov writes about this in several places. The influence of the environment determines our entire behavior to a great extent. The question is, how can we use the environment to be sensitive to the greatness of the Creator so that this topic will suddenly be amplified within me several times more? How can I use the environment or change myself towards the environment or the environment towards me so that everything that has to do with the greatness of the Creator, because that's really what it's all about, that's the goal we need to reach. So how can I increase my sensitivity to the environment and increase the influence of the environment over me? Please. In that lies the whole difference, basically, between hastening time and in due time. Hastening time is by the environment. In due time is on one's own. In due time is also with the environment, but not by awakening the influence of the environment upon us. The whole thing we add with our work is how do we amplify the influence of the environment over everyone in the ten, or the influence of the ten over everyone in it. So how do we increase that with regard? It's not going to work.
How can I understand the calling of our sages, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? What does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? What is the house of the Lord? And what does it mean to dwell in it all the time? And what is the days of my life? Go ahead. We're going to read excerpt number 10 from Rabash, article, What There Is No Blessing in That Which Is Counted Means in the Work. When a person should replace the goal, meaning where in the beginning of his work in Torah and Mitzvot, commandments, his goal, which he wanted to achieve through the labor, was self-benefit. Now he replaces the goal. That is, where he thought, when will I achieve the goal for my will to receive, so I can enjoy? Now he yearns for the goal and says, when will I be able to delight the Creator and relinquish self-benefit? Since this purpose is against nature, he needs more faith in the Creator, since he must always exert to obtain the greatness of the Creator. That is, to the extent that he believes in the greatness of the Creator, to that extent he can work with this intention. For this reason, it is upon a person to pray each day that the Creator will open his eyes so he will recognize the greatness and importance of the Creator, so he has fuel to labor with the aim to bestow. There are two discernments to make in this. One, to have a desire to bestow contentment upon his Maker, that this will be his only aspiration. Two, to do things with the aim that the actions will bring him a desire to do things in order to please the Creator. In other words, he must work and toil extensively to obtain light and kli, vessel. Light means that he received from the Creator a desire where he craves all day to bring contentment to the Creator. A kli is a desire, meaning that he wants to bestow upon the Creator. Those two he should receive from the Creator, meaning both the light and the kli. However, a person should demand this, and it is written about this, Zion, no one requires her. Our sages said, this means that she ought to be sought, meaning that there must be a demand on the part of the lower ones that the Creator will give them both the light and the kli.
Kli, zeratzon
lashpia. The kli is the will to bestow. Accordingly, the Creator is revealed there. Now let's decide, how are we going to sort every thoughts and actions of the person, not according to what society is used to, human society, rather according to how it is aimed at the goal. Towards the goal, first we have to aim at the benefit of people and the benefit of the Creator, or that I harm them. In other words, let's sort all of man's actions regarding food, sex, family, money, honor, power, knowledge. Altogether, it's our six main desires. So what do? How do we sort of separate? How to say it? Separation? Right? How do we separate or differentiate them to good and bad ones? Let's say I can eat 10 meals. By that, it doesn't make me a good person or a bad person. I can do whatever I want in terms of sex or family. But if I harm someone or not, is how we can measure the nature, the quality of one's actions. The same with regards to money, honor, knowledge. It's more difficult in there, in these desires, because usually it's mixed with a lot of other people and the public and so forth. But how do we get ourselves used to deciding about our actions in the world in this very sharp way? Is it for the good of for the benefit of other people or to their detriment, and not in some psychological or ethical manner? I can't say that I'm a good person if I rob the public of their money. I can't say I'm a good person if I weaken the country or something, and so on. And in contrast, with food, sex, and family, I don't know, I can have 1,000 families, 1,000 women like King Solomon, and eat 10 meals a day. Meaning, we want to rise above corporeal ethical scrutinies, so to speak, and position them instead of a horizontal scrutiny. We want to look at this as a scrutiny that aims at the goal. Talk about it. You'll find better, more clearer and.
Is the right work.
Rav, how do we organize society so that it gives us the right value system so that what's good for the public and for the creator is aligned together, and that's the only thing we need to take into account for our correct development? How can our society give us these values so that we always weigh anything only according to the benefit of the public, the benefit of the creator, and then we're in the right line of progress? Then we look at everything, measure everything, consider everything correctly. That should become our view of the world. And we don't look at any other thing. We have this sort of screen through which we only see the benefit of people and the benefit of the Creator. Nothing that has to do with some beauty or moral or all kinds of nonsense about what's good and what's correct and what's ethical or not. No psychology and nothing. Only that. And then our view will be focused correctly. How can society influence all its members that way?
Shaped. Love, If we look through this scrutiny, that only for the sake of the created beings and for the sake of the Creator is how we see the world, how we discern and weigh every action and everything that happens, then how will the world seem to us? How will the world seem to us with a view that weighs everything for the sake of people and the Creator? What difference will we have in the image of the world, in our perception of the world? How will we change from within, and how will the world change from without? We will see the upper world, the spiritual world. Try to think how, through changing these discernments, we achieve the upper world. Go ahead.
Rav, so this means we can perhaps say that all the wisdom of Kabbalah directs us to this. What does the restriction mean, Masach or Chozer? It's that I only want to see what's for the benefit of others and the Creator, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. So all spiritual actions are specifically aimed that way. They direct us in that way. And what's not that way is not spiritual. It's all in order to receive. It's all for the benefit of the other side. Right? No? What do you think, Akoka? No. Okay, so talk about it. About how all spiritual actions that we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah are actually in order to direct us to see what's good for the benefit of humanity and the Creator, and what is to their detriment.
Everyone says, I'm the most important, and we are telling people.
Rav, if so, what is Tzimtzum Aleph, first restriction, practically? What do I change within my view of reality, of the environment, society, the world, the Creator, that means that it's the first restrictions, Tzimtzum Aleph?
Only this of the Creator, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Rav, what exactly do I restrict in what's called restriction? It's the way I view reality. What is it that I restrict and say, that's not good, that's incorrect, and I remove myself from looking at things this way? And then what do I aim myself towards? Let's call it a restriction. Tzimtzum. We talked about it. Go ahead. And I decide that I want to relate to the giver of the gifts.
Rav, how should society influence me so that I will go into the first restriction, into Tzimtzum Aleph? What should I hear from them? To see, appreciate. What should be the influence of the environment on me? And without it, of course, I won't be able to do it. Unit in the system.
Rav, how can I describe to myself that the light that reforms comes through my environment and influences me and changes me and obligates me to do the restriction? work on him, and that's the condition for the Torah.
Rav, in what mutual relationship do I have to be in society in order to receive through it the influence from above, which will change me toward Tzimtzum, into Tzimtzum? In what mutual connection should I be with the environment so that through it I will receive the reforming light, the light that will create the Tzimtzum in me? Society on one hand.
Rav, when I want to receive the upper light that will change my nature, that will make the restriction in me, that I will only see through the benefit of others to the benefit of the Creator, that's called restriction. We agreed to begin with. So, in what attitude towards the greatness of the environment and the greatness of the Creator should I be? If I work with the environment so as to reach the Creator, to receive from Him corrections, to raise my corrections to Him through the environment, through the group, the ten, how should I weigh or attribute or match together the greatness of the environment and the greatness of the Creator? What's the connection between them? How do I value this and that so that I form a single system?
קטע מספר 11,
excerpt number 11 from Rabash. The main thing we lack, the main thing we need and for which we have no fuel for the work, is that we are lacking the importance of the goal. That is, we do not know how to appreciate our service so as to know to whom we are bestowing. Also, we are lacking the awareness of the greatness of the Creator to know how happy we are that we have the privilege of serving the King, since we have nothing with which to be able to understand His greatness. In the words of the Zohar, this is called Shekhinah, divinity in the dust, meaning that bestowal upon Him is as important to us as dust. Naturally, we have no fuel to work, since without pleasure, there is no energy to work. Where self-love shines, the body derives vitality from this. But in the work of bestowal, the body does not feel any pleasure. And any pleasure in this, and must naturally collapse under its weight. Conversely, when one feels that he is serving an important king, to the extent of the importance of the king, so is his delight and pleasure from serving him. Hence, at that time, he has fuel that can give him the power to go forward each time, since he feels that he is serving an important king. Then, when he knows and feels to whom he bestows, to the extent that he had the strength to work with the intention of self-love, now he has the strength to work in order to bestow. Since one who bestows upon an important person is regarded as receiving from him. And since the body has the strength to work for reception, in order to receive reward, likewise, in bestowing upon an important king, he derives pleasure in this. By this, we will understand what is written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot concerning the matter that if she gives, and he is an important person, she is sanctified because of the pleasure of receiving from him. We are seeing something new. Bestowing upon an important person is tantamount to receiving, although there he references the essay about matrimony in the context of reception in order to bestow, at which time reception means bestowal. From this we can understand the other side of the coin, that bestowal is called reception. And because of this, he already has fuel. For if he bestows upon an important person, it is to him as though he is receiving. Therefore, he already has the power to work. It follows that all we need is to believe in the greatness of the Creator, and then we will have the energy to work in bestowal.
So
bestowing upon an important person is in nature, inherent with us, within us, in nature. If a certain light shines on me so that it becomes important to me, then I feel, because of my nature, that if I give, I will enjoy. So relating myself to a great one means to receive pleasure. It's tantamount to receiving pleasure. This is called receiving, bestowing in order to receive. How can we, at least in this way, build the image of the Creator as important through the society, so it influences me, so it fills me up with the sensation that the Creator is very important, and then I will want to bestow upon Him in order to be, to feel safe, to receive pleasure, to be guaranteed that I'll receive everything good that will happen. How do we at least advance toward this? Toward bestowing in order to bestow, in order to receive. Of course, it's not sanctity yet, but it's already a transition. Go ahead. What are you not getting, Akoka? What's the matter with you? Danny. Danny's also like that. What's up with you? How do we give a person, confuse him with the great, with the fact that the Creator is great? Yes, we see that religions do it. People are willing to give and give and give. Why? Because they are receiving. That's it. It's concealed reception. People are willing to kill themselves. They think it's devotion. How do we really, that much, let's say now we take Yuda. He's the most, I don't know, materialized person. So, materialistic person. So how do we work on him and confuse him in such a way that he will be in pure bestowal all the time, all the time, all the time, like that? Why? The will to receive will force him. Let's work on him in this way. It's got nothing to do with his consent. It's got everything to do with our consent. How do we do this? In practice. Without this transition, we can't advance. We're talking about psychology here. Rav, there's the will to receive that the Creator created. Light shines on it. The will to receive wants to receive more. More light shines on it. It wants to receive something specific. Another something specific, and so on, according to the light that shines on it. In its size or depth or quality of the pleasure, it all depends on the light that influences a person. But how does that light that influences him, how does it invert him, creates this trigger where he wanted to enjoy from absorbing a pleasure or a certain action, now he wants the opposite. What does the light do in him? It can turn him in every direction. The will to receive is just raw material. So what changes in the light through the influence from above, so that the will to receive changes so much that it becomes inverted? Where it used to be one way, wanting one way and working one way, and then in the complete opposite direction. What change happens to the influence from above on it? Go ahead. Self-awareness. Excerpt number 12 from A Speech for the Completion of the Zohar. Our sages said, make for yourself a rav and buy yourself a friend. This means that one can make a new environment for oneself. This environment will help him obtain the greatness of his rav through love of friends who appreciate the rav. The friends discussing the greatness of the rav each of them receives the sensation of his greatness. Thus, bestowal upon one's rav will become reception and sufficient motivation to an extent that will bring him to engage in Torah and mitzvot lishma, for her sake. They said about that, the Torah is acquired by 48 virtues, by serving friends, and by meticulousness of sages. This is so because besides serving the Rav, one needs the meticulousness with friends as well, the friend's influence, so they will affect him, the obtainment of his Rav's greatness. This is so because obtaining the greatness depends entirely on the environment, and a single person cannot do a thing about it whatsoever.
Rav, what are these three kinds of work in the importance of the friends, the teacher, and the creator? What are these works? What's the difference? How should we work? Should we even make any difference in working on the importance of the friends, one's Rav, the teacher, and the creator? Go ahead. To add,
Rav, how do we connect these three types of work together? As Baal HaSulam writes, that it divides only because of the not true or not accurate approach in the work of the Creator. I don't remember the words. It's in the letter. Letter number 17. Because it only seems that way to us in different forms, but actually it is the same upper force that appears this way. Please, go ahead. Where is it?
Israel is the one who exerts to return to his root. Second is the Creator, which is the root that he longs for. Three is the 613 paths of light by which one purifies his body and soul, which is the secret of the spice. As it says, I created the evil inclination and I created for it the spice of Torah. But the three are actually one and the same, where that eventually the worker of the Creator attains them as one unique and unified discernment. And when they look separated to three, it's because of the incomplete work of the Creator.
So, to which part, the created being, the creature, or the 613 ways of the Torah, do the friends and the teacher belong?